I'm speaking today with Graham Nash. Welcome to KHSU.
Hello, Gus Russ.
You're coming to Arcata on March 24th here on the HSU campus, presented by Center Arts. You've been here a couple of times before, once with David Crosby and once as part of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And you've been touring for a long time, since 63 or so?
Oh, since 62, yes.
Yeah.
You know, the truth is that I like to communicate. That's what I am. I'm a communicator.
Yeah.
I write songs that please me, and if they please me, who is my most severe critic, I can probably please you too. You know, and I take those songs around the world and try and, you know, make people feel, period. Feel good, feel angry at what's going on, you know, feel.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but until like maybe 2 or 3 years ago when your book came out, you hadn't really done a lot of solo touring, right?
Right. I've been in these two insane bands.
Yeah.
Because I really do see CSNY as a completely different band than CSN.
Sure, of course. So when you're out now, is it you and Shane Fontaine?
Yep, yeah. Just me and Shane and the songs. What we're doing is we're taking each song back to how I wrote it or how we wrote it, you know? And pretty soon you can figure out whether you've got a good song or not when there's nothing to hide behind two acoustic guitars.
Exactly, yeah. How long has Shane been playing with you?
He's been playing with us, meaning, you know, CSN and me and David and me, you know, us, for about 6 years.
Okay.
We found him when he was playing lead guitar with Mark Cohen.
Right.
And actually something you probably don't know and probably don't care about, but he's the second lead guitar player we have stolen from Mark Cohen.
The first one was
Jeff Pivar, of course, who formed the group with David and his son James.
Right.
CPR.
Oh, I didn't know he had played with Mark Cohen. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He lives not too far from here. Lives up in Ashland. Jeff does.
Oh yes, he does. That's true. He moved. Yeah. What incredible two guitar players there. Wow.
No kidding. He produced your most recent record, This Path Tonight.
Yes, he did.
And he
wrote the songs with me.
Right, exactly. And so that album's been out almost a year now, right?
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to ask you about one of the songs on that record, the song you wrote for Leave on Helm, Back Home.
Uh-huh.
I like that your song doesn't emulate the music he's known for, chiefly, you know, his work with the band. But I love the ethereal, atmospheric feel to that track. Tell me about the genesis of that tune.
Well, when I heard that Levon was dying, of course, I went to Shane and said we have to honor his life with music rather than just, you know, mourn and be sad, you know.
Yeah.
And here's what happened. CSN used to do that song, but it was almost like a reggae song. Pretty interesting. But when I was in the middle of the record, Shane came to me and he said, do you remember the demo that we made of Back Home on the bus? I said, no, I actually don't. Play it for me. When he played it for me, all I had to do was add my voice and the drums.
So that's basically the demo?
That's the demo from my bus.
It sounds great.
Yeah, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah.
Take a load off, lay your burden down. Take a load off, lay your burden down. Take a load off, lay your burden down. Take a load off. Move too fast and it could burn you. Take your time.
So how was the rest of your, like, the working process for that record? Was it similar to that?
It was new, and from this point of view, you know I've been a musician a long time.
Yeah.
You know I've made dozens of records.
Yeah.
You know I can produce. You know that, right?
Yeah.
But I wanted to only be the artist, and that's why I asked Shane to write it. I trust him completely.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a sensibility that matches mine. You know, I'm very uncomfortable writing with other people. If I have a pretty melody and I suggest somebody write some words and it comes back as a giant grin, and the words, I'm uncomfortable writing with people. But with Shane, it's like writing in a mirror. He is so connected to me and my melodic structure and what I do with my music. It's such a pleasure to play with him.
Well, he's such a great player. I mean, I know he's played with Springsteen, and is he still playing in that great band that does the Kennedy Center Honors?
Not this year. This year it was changed. The people that ran it have all been changed, and of course the first thing you do is take over and change everything.
It's such a shame because the band that they had for that was unbelievable.
I remember when Hart did Stairway to Heaven, and Shane played the solo.
Yes.
And on the video of the show, it pans to Jimmy Page watching Shane do his solo, and you don't hear any words, but you see him go, wow.
Well, that entire performance is unbelievable. But Shane, it's pretty hard to play that iconic solo and not be compared.
Exactly.
Know? Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So I love playing with Shane, and that's what people are going to see when they come to the show, is me and Shane having a great time. I have a lot of songs.
I've written
a lot of songs. I have a great, a lot of songs to choose from.
Well, we look forward to having you here. And I'm not going to keep you too much longer. I just had a question, though. I know that you have dual citizenship, both here in the U.S. and in the U.K., and you've got a long history of activism and work for social causes and whatnot. And I'm just curious what you make of what's happening in America right now.
I've been here just short of 50 years. It's a lifetime to many people.
Sure.
I've never seen it so crazy. There's something going on there. You know, there's an interesting book called The Twilight of American Culture. And this guy traces, you know, civilizations and why they succeeded and why they failed. And he puts, you know, a short list together of the things that empires do when they fail. Check this out. First thing, destruction of the language. When you write the number four for F-O-U-R or F-O-R, you're destroying the language. The destruction of the financial pillars of society. Guess what we've done? The destruction of the religious pillars of society. Look what we've done. Very interesting. And so I'm sitting here. I see America differently than you do. I'm not from here. I'm English. Yes. I've got a different opinion of this country. It is a brilliant idea and a wonderful country. It's just that there's a lack of manners. There's a preponderance of violence and anger as a first response to much of what's going on. I've never seen a president that blatantly lies so much. I've never seen a man like this elected to the presidency of the United States. It's incredibly disturbing for me and millions of other people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, we're all unfortunately living through it together, but and each day it brings new shocking revelations about one thing or another.
You know, the truth is that when I first came here, you know, everybody wanted to get rid of Nixon, and we know what he did. We know how much he lied, you know, and even when Reagan became president, you know, everyone was saying, well, we're going to leave California if he becomes president. But we voted him in twice. George Bush, we voted him in twice. There's a certain thing that happens with the amygdala, which is a small organ in the brain, and it's responsible for the flee or the fight syndrome. Once you engage that with fear, all rationality goes out the window, and you either flee from this approaching danger or you stand and fight. But once you engage that, the amygdala, once you engage it with information, especially fear, all of the thoughts go out of the mind. Only what can I do to save my ass?
Yeah, we're in that state now. Though I am, you know, hopeful because of the incredible resistance that's sort of going on.
Yes, and it's going to continue. And I hope it continues, and I hope it gets louder. But I thoroughly would enjoy immensely if he did something that was impeachable.
Seems like that actually might have already happened.
It may have already happened, indeed.
Yeah.
But it only portends to what the future could be under this man. Advertising your daughter's clothing line from the White House?
Hey, he's new at this, right?
Yeah, you know, I think he's bitten off a lot more than he can chew, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I thought that he could run it as a business. I get somebody in charge of the military, I get somebody in charge of the infrastructure in the cities, I get somebody in charge of education, I get somebody in charge of energy, and then I'll just, you know, play golf and mess around while they do the work, because they know what they're doing and I don't. Yeah. And that's what I think he thinks.
Yeah, I think he told somebody, I think he told Lindsey Graham and John McCain, like the first trip to the Hill after he got elected, he said, this job's going to be a lot harder than I thought it was.
Yeah, well, wait. When you're responsible, when you on your hands have the world's population, wow. I mean, he's got his hand on the nuclear button. Don't forget this.
I'm just hoping that there are those around him that can keep him from that button. We're your second stop. You're playing in Chico first.
Right.
Thank you very much, Graham. We look forward to seeing you here on the 24th.
You're so very welcome.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.